A big word of thanks to our young people for sharing some of those questions. I remember when I think Pastor Ian and Jeff sent me those list of questions that you had submitted at the start of the year, and I was amazed at one, the length of that list, but also just the depth of the questions. And you heard some of those this morning that they've been asking, talking about. I'm sure they won't get to all of them in the course of this year, but a lot of questions, as Pastor Ian said, that we ask in our own lives. And the reality of life is that it faces us with all kinds of different questions, with all kinds of different decisions that we must make. This is a daily kind of occurrence. And as our young people and Pastor E just led us into so well, what does it look like to make those decisions, to try and live into the midst of those questions? What does it look like to discern God's will? Are we even talking about bringing God into the equation as we're making those decisions and asking those questions? That's really what we're trying to focus on together as a community here at Friendship, and over the next couple of weeks in this sermon series, thinking about discerning God's will, whether that's for me or for you individually, or whether that's for us collectively as in our families or as a church community as well. What does this look like? I think so often as we face the questions of this life and those decisions, life can feel something like that. And I'm not going to leave it up there too long because I know you're all going to be trying to find your way through there, going through that maze. But life feels that way, doesn't it, sometimes? Like we're just in the middle of that, and we're trying to find, I'm going to make this decision. Am I going to hit a dead end? Is this God's will? If I decide wrong, is he going to hammer me down? I want to get to the good end. I think there's something in mind, but boy, this is just so hard to see. And the thing is, with a maze like that and living in the midst of it, it's heavy. It's burdensome. We feel the weight of that. We feel the pressure of that. Like it's all on us. And this is a massive topic. I'm really honestly intimidated to even try to preach just a few weeks series on discerning God's will. Right? You can spend years talking about this and just touch on a little bit of it. But as I'm thinking about what we want to kind of get coming out of this, I think it's that lifting of that burden off of us, to feel like this all weighs on us and the decisions that I'm making in my life or you're making or we are making together. But rather see that this is a different way forward, that we're following a faithful God who's gone before us in Jesus Christ. So really, as I think about one of the goals of this series, it's this, that we would go from a maze that we must figure out and all the pressure and the weight that comes from that to seeing this as an adventure that God has figured out. He sees things clearly. He sees the full picture. He's gone before us in Jesus Christ. And as we trust in him, we get to follow him and know that our faithful God is before us and will lead us through, that he does have and has worked toward a good end for us and for all his children. Going from this pressuresome maze we got to figure out to understanding that this is an adventure that God has figured out for us. As we talk about discerning God's will, and we're going to Proverbs 3 here this morning, as already has been mentioned, this is not something that's going to be just a formula we have. It's not an equation that I can carry with me in my life. There's going to be plenty of things coming out of this series before and after where those questions that were mentioned, they're still difficult. There's not an easy answer. There's plenty of things in life that are gray. You're not going to have this formula and walk into a Starbucks next week and say, oh, it looks like I'm supposed to order the grande size today. Right? That's not how this works. God is mysterious. There's all kinds of just connection with him and listening to him in different ways and individually in families and even in church life, this can look a little different in different times. And yet in other ways, it's tried and true every single day. So as we enter into God's word this morning, we seek his wisdom, we seek his face and what he would speak to us in God's word in Proverbs 3. As we come to this word this morning, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And there's a lot of different sayings of wisdom. There's different sections, even whole chapters of kind of almost a father speaking to his son. Some of them are loosely connected, some more closely connected. In chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, as we're coming to that this morning, in chapter 3, the connection is words of wisdom that point us to how to live a faithful life toward God, how to live a life following God. And of course, that includes following his will for our lives. So we come into that this morning, and really as we hear this word, the phrase that comes to mind as we think about what it looks like to discern God's will is this, that discerning God's will begins and ends with submitting to God's will. If we're going to be discerning God's will in our lives, individually and together as a community, first and foremost, we need to be willing to submit to God's will as the text says, to trust in his will. So let's hear these wise words the Lord had given to us from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Take a moment. Let's read that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let's take some time this morning to just digest that word the Lord speaks to us as we think about discerning his will together. Of course, a key word in this is that word trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The idea here is this, that if I'm not trusting in the Lord in my life, I'm living by someone or something else's direction. We all trust in something or someone in our lives that gives us direction for the way we live and the way we make decisions, how we answer questions. If it's not the Lord, it's something or someone else. And God here is calling us back to a trust in him. That word in the Hebrew, as often the Hebrew language, kind of gives a picture. This word for trust is a picture of leaning on something. It's so fitting that we sang that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, just a few moments ago, because that song is so tied to these verses, and particularly that word of trust here. It's a picture of leaning on something or someone that is reliable, that is secure, that can uphold us. Some months back, I think I had a picture of a water skier up on the screen. You might remember that, and kind of leaning out, slalom skiing outside the wake there. And some of you are water skiers or have done that quite a bit in your lives, and you know that you have to rely on that ski. You have to really lean on it, trust it, if you're going to do that effectively. The other piece is as you do that and that ski is reliable and it upholds you, it's enjoyable to ski that way. It's the best way to ski, of course, some of us would say, when you're leaning and relying on it in that fashion as it's made to. A lot of you here, I know, are into hunting as well, and you think about maybe a tree stand you have, and I know a lot of you, when you're hunting, will get a harness for that tree stand. And when you're getting a harness for your tree stand, do you just grab an old belt you found in your closet and wrap it around your waist? I would think not. Right? You want something that you can trust in, that if you fell asleep or lost your balance, whatever, it's going to hold you. If you lean on it, it's going to secure you. But also, it's going to be something that you don't even have to think about so that you can enjoy your time in creation and hunting. The same idea is in play here when we talk about trusting in the Lord. And as we think about discerning his will, the idea is really this, that trusting is a confidence in God's strength to secure us, right? To uphold us, to see us through the day-to-day of life. But also in the value, the worth of his leading. That he is going to lead us to good things. I think about that for discerning God's will. It's one thing if God is speaking to us and we see, boy, he has strength. But if what we hear him saying we don't think is valuable for us, doesn't have any worth, why would we listen? Why would we trust it? Why rely upon it? What God is communicating to us over and over, not just in Proverbs, but over and over, is that he is reliable in his strength, but he's also reliable in his worth. What he has for us is the most valuable thing, is life abundant. And God says, trust in me, lean upon me, I'll be the rock that will not falter. I will uphold you through all the ups and downs of life, through all the questions, through all the decisions. I'll be there, I'll hold you up. You can trust in me. Again, if we're not trusting in the Lord, we're trusting in something or someone else for the direction of our lives. There's another qualifier given to this trust, though, in the text. It's trust the Lord with all of your heart, wholehearted trust. This is the contrast here of I surrender all versus I surrender some. We sang some of that earlier, too, in some of the lyrics of the songs about giving it all to the Lord, surrendering to him. I'll be honest, and I think if you were too, we could say that it's easier said than done. One character in the Bible who's often given this moniker is Caleb. Remember Caleb, one of the spies that was sent into the promised land, a journey through the wilderness? Those spies came back, and most of them said, oh, you know, it looks good, but we can't go in there. The people are strong. They have walls. There's giants. But Caleb was not one of those who doubted. He says, no, we need to go in. The Lord's given us this good land. He goes before us. He's promised. And in multiple occasions, Caleb is described as having a wholehearted trust in the Lord. And as he walks in that way, he receives his portion in the promised land, as we see going forward, as they do come across the Jordan and conquer. Of course, there's others who are described in that way too, but that's the picture, this wholehearted trust, this surrendering of all our lives to the Lord. And I think for most of us individually, and for us as God's people collectively, there's a lot of things that, I don't want to say are easy, but we don't have much trouble handing over to the Lord or trusting him in. And yet there's other things, if we're being honest and looking in the mirror, that are maybe harder for us to turn over, that maybe we think we do a pretty good job of managing ourselves. And I just want to put my finger on one that I think personally and often collectively, especially for us as Americans who have a lot, is one that maybe we have a tough time surrendering, and that's our checkbooks, our money, our possessions. We'll trust our financial advisors. We'll trust our own acuity with our money. Or we trust our property managers. We'll trust all this. But will we surrender it to the Lord as he calls us to see us as just stewards of all that he's given to us? Right? That's where this comes into play, this wholehearted trust. It's not just, well, God, I'll give you some of these things. It's the call to say, well, God, I want to discern your will in everything, even these things where sometimes it's hard for me to hear it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The text goes on there to talk about, in a contrast, lean not on your own understanding. Of course, this is the opposite to trusting the Lord with all your heart. And you could really input anything other than God there, where it says, lean not on your own understanding. You could say, lean not on your pastor's understanding. Lean not on your parents' understanding. Lean not on your president's understanding. Lean not on your military's understanding or guru's understanding. Excuse me, or whatever else it might be. Anything else there in place of the Lord, the message would be the same. But I think the writer here is wise in knowing that for most of us, what we come back to is ourselves. Who we really think has it figured out is me. I know all the best ways of doing things. I know all the best decisions to make. I have the answers to the questions. Nobody else can tell me what to do. When it comes down to it, this is really the challenge for us. And when we talk about discerning God's will, whether that's just me personally in my life, whether that's together as a church, we have to face the fact that we can't discern God's will if we're really only interested in our own. I can't discern God's will if I'm really only interested in my own, or even in a group setting, in our own. We have to face that. And I think it's there probably more often than I or you or we realize, this contest of wills, as it were. Because the reality is, in our lives, whether it comes to how a meal should be cooked, how something should be cleaned in the house, what should be done in regards to the coronavirus, what's happening politically with our sports teams, whatever, we think we have things figured out pretty well, and our way is the best way. Right? Let's just be honest about that. That's how we deal with things. That's how we enter into conversations often with others. Now, let's be clear that the text here is not calling for a lack of learning or not understanding or not educating ourselves or doing any of that. That's not in view here. What is being challenged is our pride or our arrogance in our own wisdom, in our own understanding, especially as opposed to God, but even in the light of each other. Who think we're up here and everybody else just needs to come to that level. That we got it figured out, and the world would be a better place if they just realized that too. I can't discern God's will if I'm only interested in my own. God says, don't lean on your own understanding. We heard that word trust. God's saying, I'm a rock you can lean on. What he's saying about us is your understanding's more like something like that. A reed you would see in a lake or a pond. You try to lean on that, and what's going to happen? You're going to be face down in the water. God says that's what your own understanding is like. In fact, that's what anything or anyone else's understanding or wisdom is like if you're going to lean on it as opposed to mine, God says. It will break under you. It will fall. Eventually, it's going to falter. Those questions, those decisions, they're going to mount up. They're going to suffocate you. They're going to push you down into the ground, literally. They're going to overcome you. Think about that picture of the maze again and us being in the midst of that. We don't even know what the next hour is going to bring, let alone the next day or looking into 2022. Yet we're going to trust our own wisdom. God tells us that he sees the whole picture. He's above all of this. He sees it all. Trust in me, God says. Don't lean on your own understanding. So much of this goes back to what we say we believe about God. We talk about him being all wise, all knowing. Isn't that someone we should trust over against ourselves or anything else? We talk about God being good and loving. We talk about him being sovereign and control over all things. If that's really what we believe about God, we can trust in him. We can look to him. We can bring his voice, his presence into every single question and decision we're facing. And that's really where the text goes next. In all your ways, submit to him. And this statement is parallel to that first one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Submit to him in all your ways. In the Message translation, I like the way that this is brought out. Listen for God's voice in all you do. Listen for God's voice in all you do. If God is over everything, he's the one who's created us, he sees everything in his time, why would we not want to submit to him? We see him as the one who's come to us in Jesus Christ and worked our salvation, conquered sin and death for us. Why would we not want to submit to him? I think I know the answer often in my own life. It's my sin, it's my brokenness, it's my stubbornness, it's my leaning on my own understanding. God calls us back here to listen to him, to be engaging with him in everything in our lives. And this is, I think, where the question at the outset for us as we think about discerning God's will comes to us. How often are we actually engaging God in the questions and the decisions of our lives? This morning, this day, we're only a few hours into it. How many decisions have you not already made in this day? You're here, so I know that's one. You put on clothes, you probably ate food, you had conversations with people, maybe you went out and shoveled the drive. And you might say, and I might say too, well, those are just kind of small things. Do I really need to pray about every single one? But there's a pattern here, isn't there? Yes, we're not going to always turn to the Lord in a 10-minute prayer before we decide what we're going to have for breakfast. I understand that. But there's a pattern here. If we're not even thinking about God in the small decisions of our lives, what makes you think we're going to think about him in the bigger decisions? Or at best, we're going to call him in like an insurance policy. Oh, God, help, we're in trouble, we need you. That's not what the design is. Submit to him in all your ways. Listen for God's voice in everything we are doing. Well, what does that look like? Oh, where can we be hearing God's voice? Just want to take a couple moments to point out some of the ways that God speaks to us. One certainly is through his word. In Scripture. We could spend a whole series talking about this. We just had a sermon a couple of months ago, Sola Scriptura, and the gift of God's Word into our lives. But God speaks to us through his Word, pointing us always and again to Jesus Christ, but also to his wisdom, his will for our lives. If we're not engaging with this great gift, how can we be discerning God's will? Certainly also in prayer. God calls us to be speaking to him with these questions. It's like some of those we just heard the youth raise. Some of these decisions we're facing, be praying with him about that, to be engaging him. Lord, what is your wisdom? I need your help. God speaks to us through prayer. He leads us. Sometimes it's just to give us comfort to know that he'll be with us, whatever we decide in this case. Other times it's to say, no, Dan, you can't go forward in that way. God speaks to us through his creation, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. He speaks to us all the time. Are we listening? What's he saying? He speaks to us through fellow believers in the church, out in the world, and the Christians are speaking to each other. We hear God's voice through his people. And certainly in all of this and over all of it, God's Holy Spirit, he says, dwells in us as we put our faith in him. The Spirit speaks to us, often guiding us without us even fully realizing it as we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This list is not meant to be exhaustive. I'm not going to try to limit the ways that God would speak to us. But these are just some of the ways that God would have us engage with him day after day in our lives, to submit to him in all our ways. Is this something we even think about as we make our decisions? Or are we just saying, well, here's what I know. Here's what I understand. God says, no, that's not something that's going to uphold you. Come to me, submit to me, trust in me. I'm the rock you can depend on. And when you depend on me, God says, that weight of that maze, that burden that's on your shoulders, thinking all this depends on you, if you make the wrong decision, it's all over, you'll feel that lifted. Because as God says in here in closing, that he will make your paths, our paths, straight. Another way of saying that is that he will direct us. Again, in a more visual way, he will remove the obstacles from our path. He'll take those things out of the way. He'll lead us toward that eternal good end he has in mind. Friends, the wonderful thing for us, even as opposed to someone like Solomon who wrote this, is that we have seen God make good on this promise in Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus, and so often the words of Isaiah are connected now with Jesus, those words of the suffering servant. Isaiah 42 and 52 and 53 and 49, those songs of the servant. In Isaiah 42, it talks about that servant being one who depends on the Lord, who the Lord upholds. Right? We see that in Jesus' life. He lives this out to the full. He leans upon the Lord. He trusts in him. We're told that he will not break the bruised reed. He's not going to lean on something else other than God. He's going to lean on him. And of course, this suffering servant, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, as we've celebrated in this Christmas season, comes to us to remove the greatest obstacles for our lives with God out of the way. His mission and purpose is to go to the cross. And there he takes on sin and he takes on death. And think about it, all these questions that we're raising, all the obstacles we face, the griefs, the tough decisions, they all point back to those two enemies, really. Sin and death. It's our brokenness that makes all these tough decisions and questions and situations. It's death that seems to loom over us in our lives. Jesus has come, the faithful one, and has taken those on and has conquered them. Forgiven you, forgiven me of our sins. Overcome death in his resurrection. And though even though now we face sin, we still deal with it, we know that death's part of our life here on this earth, it's completely different. Because the faithful servant has gone before us and has cleared the path for us to follow him. Right, if you get that picture again of that maze before you, and you know what a maze looks like when someone's figured it out. There's that pen mark that goes through and goes through all the way to the end and the opening on the other side. I want you to think about that. This is what Jesus has done for you and for me, for us as his people. He's gone that path before us. He has shown the way. He's made it to the other side, and he just calls us to follow after him, to see how he wills us to live, to see how we can trust in him, we can rely on him, that he will make our paths straight. We said at the outset that discerning God's will begins and ends with submitting to his will, trusting him in that way. But really, as we see it in Jesus, as we have it now, it's about trusting in what Jesus has done for us. And I know that sounds so basic to some of you, but it's so fundamental. And we always have to go back there. When we know, we believe, we trust that Jesus has died on the cross to save us of our sins, that he has died and risen to new life to give us new life, a life where we can be filled with his Spirit and know that we are the children of God. That changes everything, doesn't it? Yes, there's still decisions to make. Yes, there's tough questions to face. Yes, we don't always have full clarity on all of them. But we know it's not all on our backs to figure this out and to make the way, because Jesus Christ has gone before us. He has made the way when there wasn't one before. And so as we seek his leading in our lives, it begins with that trust and that comfort of knowing who we are now in Jesus Christ. And now this time of discernment and this time of Leading in our lives is just an act of faith, an act of worship, an act of joyful invitation of God's presence and His voice into our lives every day, no matter what we're facing, no matter what 2022 might bring, because we know who has gone before us. We know the rock upon which we are leaning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are trustworthy in everything. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who has gone before us faithfully to make a way for life for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray we hear these words this morning as a welcome invitation to have you in our lives, in your voice, in your leading. Good Shepherd leading us to green pastures and beside quiet waters. Father, we pray we would know that, especially as we are facing tough questions and not always knowing the answers. So we're facing difficult decisions, sometimes wondering what the consequence will be. Father, remind us of your presence in the midst of this. And help us, Lord, to joyfully seek you, listen to you, and follow you, knowing that you've blazed the trail before us in Christ. We pray it all in his blessed name. Amen.